me part of their pack of peanuts. Sweet. Whose are these? Are these yours? Are these yours? Couple quick things before we get rolling here. One is our Christmas offering. I encourage you over the next two Sundays as well as Christmas Eve to be praying about how God may have you be part of that. A Christmas offering, if you go on our Facebook page, you can see all the people we partner with, all the ministries and folks that we have been able to help support throughout this year. And we are just want to give them a great blessing here at Christmas as they continue to go forth and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So if you get a chance, you can grab one of the envelopes out of the table, or you can just, if you put money in the offering, just mark it for the Christmas offering. If there's a particular ministry, mission that you know that we partner with that you want to directly give to, just make sure you designate that. And if you're not sure, you can ask Pete if you got questions about anything. We had a we just sent off some money to Faith Comes By Hearing, which were the Bible sticks you guys heard about a month ago. They're little Bible sticks that they give to all of our military personnel, or they try to get them out to them. It's the Bible on this little device that they can use. Tremendous ministry. And we were able to support that, and they sent us a great thank you for being a part of that. So I want to keep doing that. Second thing is Christmas Eve. We're going to be having Christmas Eve service here, 6 p.m. Christmas Eve. It's December 24th. Okay. Jimmy, you got anything you want to? Created a separate Facebook page for Christmas Eve. And I'm not even on Facebook, so, but I know it exists. I don't know how you get to it. I don't know what you do with it, but it's out there. So if you are on Facebook, you got any questions, let us know. But use that as much as you can to get the word out, and also just old-fashioned, invite people and bring people with you that hopefully will come, and I believe it's going to be a great, great blessing to them. All right, we good? What do you do at Christmas when you got to buy gifts to someone that already has everything? I know that's a lot of you. It's a lot of you here today that you're just like, I already have one. No, it's, you know, Christmas shopping can either be easy or gift cards, or it can be very stressful. Anyone ever gotten stressed at Christmas? I'm saying it at some point in time, you know. Well, we're talking about Christmas gifts today. Last week we kind of talked about Christmas lights, this week's Christmas gifts, next week's Christmas party. So it's going to be a little party atmosphere in here. We'll probably have some dancing and karaoke going. But when you think about Christmas gifts, also, I want you to think about this. What's the greatest Christmas gift you ever received? If you want to share those, it'd be great. What's the greatest Christmas gift you ever received? Or vice versa, what's the worst Christmas gift you ever received? Just don't throw anybody under the bus that's near you or listening. Anyone got anything you want to share? Anybody? Real funny. We have Monday night. All right. At least Monday night, you know, that was our Super Bowl. Anyone? Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Your daughter. Absolutely. Ma'am? Absolutely. So family's big, right? A four-wheel power wheel. That was just the other week, wasn't it? That was a recent Christmas gift. Anybody else? Eggs left over from Easter? The sad part is you're actually being serious, aren't you? You weren't a very well-liked child, were you? But you're still in therapy, aren't you? Oh, yeah? Video game? So anyway, you get the point, right? So, turn in your Bible, Matthew 2. This is similar. I mean, a familiar story, but we're going to go to probably a more unfamiliar passage shortly. But when we consider the birth of Christ, and we're thinking about gifts today, we're going to talk about the wise men, start off with anyway. By the way, we know we often think there were three because they brought three gifts, right? However, we don't actually know that there were three, and if you actually study historically, more than likely there were probably more than three, just from a historical standpoint of how Magi traveled, and if you study some other things, particularly the book of Daniel. But let's look over in Matthew 2, starting right at verse 1, says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." All right, so what direction did they come? From the east. And if you read in Daniel 2, you hear a little bit about the Magi that were there around King Nebuchadnezzar particularly. They had been summoned in by Nebuchadnezzar to try to interpret things for him, but yet Daniel was the one who could do it. So we do have other references in Scripture. So these wise men were probably from that area at least. Now that area was a broad area, but came from that area. But what the Magi did was they were astrologers. They studied the stars. So for them to see this star was important. It says, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now understand this about these wise men. One, they were not Jewish people. All right, they were Gentile, which is just anyone non-Jewish, and more than likely pagan, meaning they did not know the God of Israel. They may have heard of him, but they were not in knowing. So this is God's supernatural intervention here of witnessing even of himself through this star to these wise men. Because notice they said that they have come to worship him. It says that when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. And he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So he gathered all the religious leaders together. Okay, he gathered all the religious leaders together and says, "Hey, where is this baby supposed to be born?" And they go back and quote this verse. It says, "They told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet." And this is by the prophet Micah, and we'll be in Micah in a little bit. And it says, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. I'm going to give you something you got to do when you get home today, and then we're going to pray and roll into this. Any of you that have the wise men in your nativity at home, you need to move them. It is completely biblically inaccurate. Okay? Scripture clearly shows you that the wise men, by the time they get to see Jesus, Jesus is no longer an infant baby. He's probably a toddler or something. He's probably between a year and 2 years old. He's living in a house. The Bible clearly says, okay? So here's what I need you to do. If you've got wise men at your house in a nativity scene, I need you to put them at the other end of the house. All right, because they've got to get on this journey where they're going to eventually end up seeing King Jesus, okay? But they're not in the nativity. Everybody get that? Make sure they're off to the east, too. Don't put them north, south, or west. Make sure they're to the east end of your house, and they've got to travel there. So, all right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for just being so gracious and awesome and loving. And thank you so much for the opportunity we have, just especially this time of the year that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Father, even more than that, the opportunities we have this time of year to share that love, to share the good news, the hope that we have in Christ. Father, there are people all around us that are going through difficulties. They're rushing around. They're struggling. There's so many things that are happening. Father, may we show them the true reason for the season. May we share with them this good news of great joy. So Father, I pray that throughout this time of the year that we will be able to introduce them to the Prince of Peace, that they will this Christmas truly have peace in their heart as they come to know Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. So here's the wise men. They're going to see Jesus. Now, they're not going empty-handed. We know the scripture tells us that they themselves are carrying these three gifts, which of course is where we get the idea that there must have been three of them. But again, if you go back historically, more than likely there were many more than just the three. However, they do come, they find Jesus in a house, they find him there with Mary, and they come, and the first thing we see they do is they worship Jesus. It says literally they fell down. So they recognized, they knew this was more than an ordinary child. That this Jesus, this baby Jesus, or young baby, I mean not young baby, toddler, Jesus was clearly more than any that they had ever seen. Now, the Magi would have been part of a group that they would have served kings. Matter of fact, in many instances, the wise men themselves were from a kingly progression, succession. Okay, they themselves were part of a kingly line. So they come themselves, and if you've ever been to a Christmas play, you're seeing they're usually decorated or dressed as kings in many ways, because they themselves are in that line of kingship. But yet they come and they are going to worship this small child. And that's literally the word there in Greek there. When it says child, it means little child. So we know he's young. We know if you follow the rest of the passage down that Herod ultimately would decree all boys under the age of 2 to be killed. So we know he's close to that age. So if you read the entirety of Scripture, this is where we get this idea. But as they come, they fall down, they worship him, and it says they open their treasures and they offer him three gifts. And the whole point of this message today is for us to consider in our own hearts, what can we give to Jesus? What gift can we give to Jesus this year? Now, they gave him three things: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, symbolic of kingship. That the fact that they are recognizing this little child as a king. Can you imagine going back right now to a preschool area and finding, you know, Colton or Logan, and recognizing them as a king? I mean, this little child. But yet, they see this is no ordinary child. And they are going to present him gold because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The second thing they offer him is frankincense. Frankincense would have been burned on the altar. The high priest would have came in and burned this. It was an aspect of offering. And this frankincense was showing that he himself would also be our high priest. Hebrews says that we have this high priest who intercedes on our behalf. Because that's what the high priest did in those days. The high priest was who you would go and you would actually confess your sins. And then the high priest would offer those sins up to God the Father. But we no longer go through that system. That's what Jesus came. God came here. Emmanuel, God with us. He came so that we now have direct access to the very throne of God through Jesus Christ. So the frankincense was an aspect of recognizing again of who he was. That this was the God-man. This was a king, a high priest. And last they offer him myrrh. And myrrh was probably the most you would probably really wonder about the most. And I'm sure as a young mother, Mary would have really kind of wondered, why are they giving myrrh? Myrrh was something that was used to help in the death process, in embalming someone who was dead. They would use myrrh when they would prepare a body after it had died. I mean, can you imagine, young mothers, if someone gave you embalming fluid as a Christmas gift? You'd probably throw it back at them. But yet, I mean, myrrh was this gift, yet it was recognizing the fact that Jesus would one day die for our sins. He would die on our behalf. So they bring these three gifts, but each gift is important to understand what they symbolize, what they are representative of. That we have a king, a high priest, and one who is, in fact, our Savior. One who would die in our place for our sins so that we might become the righteousness of God. So when you consider this Christmas as you go around and we are you know, we get busy, we get caught up in the season, but so often we forget that the only person that we really need to consider this year above all others is Jesus. What do you get the creator of the universe? What do you give someone who created you? What do you give someone who created all that there is? Well, I'm glad you asked. So flip over to Micah, and at the about halfway through chapter 6, I want you to consider this year. Verse 6 of chapter 6 says, "What shall I come before the Lord and bow myself, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high?" What should I bring? What can I bring to God? "Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old?" So do I bring him gifts, even gifts that would show a sacrifice? "Will the Lord be pleased if I bring 1,000 rams?" Those aren't trucks. Those are the actual animals. "How about 10,000 of rivers of oil?" All material type things. What can I give to the God who owns all? "Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Can I even offer up my own child, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soil?" No. Micah says that he has told you, O man, what is good. And these are the three things that God requires. So what does the Lord require of you? One, to do justice. Second, to love kindness. And three, to walk humbly with our God. And this we want to focus on for a few minutes this morning. Three things that we can give to God that he desires more than anything. One, to do justice. That means that we need to be a voice for those who cannot speak for themselves. I don't know if you look around at all, if you watch the news at all, you will see there's an incredible amount of injustice that happens both in and around us and around the world. There's an incredible amount of injustice. I was reading just this past weekend, we've got friends that work down in Atlanta, the Atlanta Mission Center. A lot of you know Adili's brother Harry is who runs the school in Mikandani that we partner with over in Kenya. And I was reading some stuff Adili had put out that they've already this year, I think, rescued over 230 young girls that have been sex trafficked here in America, in Atlanta. And by the way, most of those pass through Richmond. Richmond is unfortunately a gateway in the trafficking industry because of running from Miami to New York, the number of people that are being trafficked. Human trafficking is unbelievable what happens in our country. In that regard, you know, I'm not talking about, you don't even have to go to somewhere off far away. It happens right here. Who speaks for this? We have incredible organizations, ministries out there speaking this. But who will be the voice? How do we show justice? By speaking up for those who cannot speak. I was riding through Richmond, I don't know, a month or so ago, and I missed the turn. If you're right on Carey Street and you're turning down on Poet Parkway and you go one extra street, you drive right past Planned Parenthood. It's right there in that area. And I wasn't intending to go down that street. Matter of fact, I didn't even realize they had moved, and I rode down the street. And there's one little old lady. God bless this little lady. She wasn't out there screaming and hollering. She wasn't out there trying to beat someone over their head. She was there just praying that if one young woman who goes there that day planning to abort their child, they just praying that God would somehow intercede, and she would not. And just faithful. And I'm thinking, I mean, that's speaking. She spoke volumes to me, just what she was doing that day. She wasn't walking around with a big picket sign. She didn't have a, you know, grandma's Bible that's like, you know, like this that she was going to hit someone with. She was just there. She was praying. You could see it. She was praying for people who came. Just being a voice. Speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves. A couple months ago, many of you helped as we raised a whole bunch of winter clothing and things that were sent off to one of the refugee camps. Over and other areas of the world. There is tremendous amount of need. Anyone disagree with that? There's tremendous amount of need all around. So one of the things we do as those who love the Lord is we need to practice justice. God has given us this opportunity to be His hands and feet, that we can speak up, we can do things that make a difference. There are so many people that live in incredibly impoverished conditions even here. I mean, we are arguably one of the wealthiest countries in the world. By the way, you ever go online, and I forgot the website now, but you can Google this. You go on, and there's a website, and you enter your income, and it tells you where you rank in terms of the world, in terms of your income. Jarrell, if you make $10,000 a year in this country, you're in the top 30% of incomes in the world. $10,000 in America will put you in the top, the top 30 or something. I mean, it's amazing when you consider. And I understand that. I've been in a lot of countries in the world, and the worst thing we do is go in there with a bunch of money, and we go in there with a bunch of westernized ideas, which, by the way, that is completely what we've done with Jesus, too. We have completely westernized Jesus. We've Americanized and westernized Jesus so much to the point that when many of us stand before Him, we won't have any clue who He is. We won't recognize Him in any way, shape, or form. We won't recognize Him because there's not enough of Him in us for us to see that. And the other part is we're not even going to recognize Him physically because we've somehow envisioned Jesus as this lily white dude with blonde streaks in his hair and blue eyes, and we would have no concept of what Jesus even looks like. All right? I mean, have you ever been in the Middle East? Have you ever been in parts of Israel and seen a true Jewish man who goes back generations? Okay? They have actually very dark skin. Okay? So he's not this lily white dude, right? And I don't know anyone over there that has blue eyes that's from that area of the world. Okay? So he's not going to have blue eyes. He's not going to be lily white. And his hair is probably going to be, I love when the Passion of the Christ, I mean, I think Mel Gibson did a great job of depicting at least, you know, what Jesus, you know, would probably more look like than what a lot of the Jesus films have done over the years. But the most important thing is, will He recognize us as His kids, as those who have done these things? So justice, will we speak up? The other thing He says is that we love kindness. Some translation says mercy. Mercy is to extend to someone something they don't deserve. Mercy. You throw yourself at the mercy of the court, right? Because you're begging and pleading that somehow they would grant you some favor even though you don't necessarily deserve it. By the way, that describes every one of us. Every one of us has been extended mercy. If you are a child of God, God extended mercy to you by not giving us what we deserved. What we deserved was the cross. That was meant for us. My sin is what separated me from God. And because I am a sinner, I don't deserve anything. But yet, while we were sinners, Romans, Christ died for us. He extended mercy to us by taking the cross and giving us unmerited favor. Not anything we deserved. Amen? Any of us deserve salvation? No. Far from it. Far from it. I still, to this day, I say, when I stand for the Lord that day, all I can think of is the ostrich. You know what the ostrich likes to do? Stick his head down in the dirt. Because I'm going to be standing in front of one who took my place. One who literally exchanged his life for me that I could have eternal life. And yet still, how often do I actually express my thankfulness to that? How often do I live my life that it's demonstrating what He did? And part of that is here, that we show kindness, we show mercy. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people in this world that maybe they've been hurt. Maybe there's just been they just have a lot of bitterness, things that happen. But what so often will break through is a simple act of kindness, right? We were talking about that the other day. The Bible even tells us, Paul tells us in Romans that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. What a great verse. It's because he loves us so much. That's what ultimately draws us. He's not a warden. He's not this big ogre. He's not this big, you know, guy who's just ready to just absolutely beat us and condemn us. No, he's a loving father. Because he loves us, he's going to discipline us. He is going to do things that are trying to conform us. He's trying to help us to be conformed more into the image of his son. Anybody that has kids, you're going to do that. You don't want your kids to just run, you know, and do whatever they want. You're going to have boundaries you create. You're going to have rules that you're going to give them. To restrict them? No. Because you love them. If you live, if you are in a high trafficked area, you're not going to let your kids play in the street, are you? No. So you're going to restrict them. Maybe you put a fence around. Fences are not meant to be a restriction. Fences are meant to what? Provide safety. And to enable a pet or a child to have what? Freedom. They're not designed to restrict. They provide freedom. So we need to understand that, yes, God does it. But God desires us to show the same kindness that he has shown us. He shows us kindness every day. And by the way, the Bible says his mercies are new every day. His mercies never cease. They never stop. It's continual. Now look, are there people that you would honestly say are difficult to love? Yeah, absolutely. There are people difficult, okay? There, I've said before that there are people, look, we're commanded scripturally to love them, but it doesn't mean you're always going to like them, right? We may not like sometimes what people have done, what they say, how they act, all those things, but we need to love them. However, understand this, love doesn't equate with also you just do whatever you want to do. That's not love, actually. It's the furthest thing from love. We've somehow equated tolerance with love. Well, we need to talk, that's not love. You know what that actually is? It's hatred. It's hatred. Because ultimately, all you're saying is, do what you want. You just do what you want. Whatever you think is right is okay. You do it. That's not love, people. That's not what God did for us. That's not love. You know what that is? It's a free ticket to hell. That's what you're providing. You do whatever you want. It's okay. It's okay. No. Love is showing them God's truth. It's showing them that there is a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and that no one comes to the Father but by me. You can't change that. You can't say, well, all roads ultimately lead to the same. No, there's one God. His name's Jesus. One. And we need to show kindness, but understand, that verse in Romans, I love that verse. It is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's because he loves us. Think about this when you were growing up. I don't know about you. The thing that would get me the most was knowing how much my parents loved me, no matter how much of a complete idiot I was. Right? No matter what stupid act I did. Right? And they're back there, ask them. All right? Just ask them. But not one time in my life, no matter what I did, right? I totaled my car one time, and I don't even know if they know the whole story what happened that night. All right? But you know what? They didn't show up on the accident scene and start questioning. You know what they did? Are you okay? Right? They loved me even though I was an idiot. Right? That's the biggest problem, right? You feel guilty. You get convicted because when you know someone loves you, even when you do something really boneheaded. And I don't know about you, but I do not have to work at that. It is really natural. It comes so easy, it scares me. But it's because God's kindness, because he loves us so much. So I want you to consider that. When you go about and you have people that maybe, you know what, a lot of you, maybe you work in environments that you have people that, you know, they're not nice people. You would say, they're just not very nice people. Well, have you extended kindness to them? Have you shown them mercy? And by the way, I just said the Bible says that God's kindness, God's mercy is new every day. Don't think just because you do one thing, it's going to automatically change their entire persona. It might, but it might require that you're going to have to actually show some continual kindness. That's demonstrating God's love. It's knowing, you know what? Maybe they don't know Christ. Maybe they've been hurt bad by different, maybe circumstances have been terrible. We were at a lawyer's office the other week and talking to this lady, sweet lady, and she was sharing her husband had just passed away. And just, but I tell you what, she was, I mean, it was very unexpected too. It was a brain aneurysm. It had just happened instantaneously. But I've never seen a more sweeter person. She wasn't, you know, bitter. And I would say she probably would have had reason, right? I mean, she could have been understandably upset at things, you know. I mean, a lifelong, you know, husband, a great marriage, and just boom, instantaneously, one day, he's gone. But yet she was showing kindness. She was constantly witnessing to everyone who walked in that law office, and they handle a lot of very bitter divorces. And I'm thinking when you're in that state and you're going in there, and someone extends kindness to you and just loves on you and says, "Hey, it's going to be okay." That's probably pretty important thing to hear. So consider ways you can show kindness. And the last thing he says is to walk humbly with our God. How do you walk humbly? It's very simple. Serve. Serve other people. What a great time of year it is to serve. Serve others. Look for opportunities to serve. By the way, the greatest gift you will give your kids is to teach them to serve. It's one of the greatest gifts you will ever give to your children is teaching them to serve. Not to be gimme, 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 gimme. Not to grow up with this entitlement that we have just run rampant with. You know, we've raised a generation of people who feel like they're entitled to everything. And yet, Jesus says we should serve one another. Jesus gave us this example. He was the servant king. He was a suffering servant. Isaiah does a wonderful job of he has an entire chapter. I think it's 53 that's labeled the suffering servant. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, which was us. And he came to serve. I mean, think about it. Out of all the things he could have done, and we say this all the time, but I just want you to constantly be thinking about this. All the ways he could have came, look at what he did. He came in the form of a baby. That song was so amazing that the worship team just did. I mean, can you imagine? Mary's not supernatural. Mary's not supernatural. Mary was a normal mom who God chose to work through her supernaturally through the birth of Jesus. But she was just a normal mom. But all the while, she raised Jesus knowing what his purpose was. Can you imagine as a mom raising your child knowing that one day they will die the most excruciating, painful death known to man because of our own sinfulness? Could you imagine how that must have at times weighed on her? Why she had to constantly lean in so close to God's Spirit? How she had to stay so connected? Because just that weight alone would have at times, I would imagine, would have been unbearable. I can't imagine having experienced that. Knowing that would occur. But she was a humble servant. Read in Luke 2. Read Mary's beautiful song, her praising of God. That here she is, this humble, poor peasant girl, and basically a nobody, right? Mary was nobody. But here's the thing about nobodies. Nobodies that know somebody can be anybody. She was a nobody, but she knew somebody. And that somebody was Jesus. How do we give a gift to someone who has it all? we show justice, we show kindness, and we serve others. It's the greatest gift we can give. And how do you give that to a king who has it all? Simple. You do it to his people. We look for opportunities. You don't have to look very far, do you? You don't have to look very far at all to find opportunities. They are endless. They are all around us. So I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you this clip, and I'm going to give you a little kind of vision here. I want you to think about it. But I'll show you this clip. It's from WestJet Airlines. If you've ever seen these guys, WestJet Airlines is an airline based in Calgary, Canada. But I want you to watch what they do and tell me that this is what the church needs to do. There's a lot of those good ones on there. That's the kind of company you want to work for, isn't it? They do so many amazing things for the community and people around. But they go into these little villages throughout the Dominican Republic, and they have done this over and over again. And these are impoverished areas, and but it's the coolest thing, seeing a walking a horse down the beach. I mean, that's got to be pretty cool looking. But anyway, here's the point. This is the last thing he said. It is better to give than to receive. And I want us as a church to be so known by our generosity above anything else. And we've been able to do that in so many ways. But I'm going to encourage you, because here's my dream. My dream is like one Sunday next year at Christmas time, we get so excited about serving and doing things that we can get ahead of the game on things, and that, you know, we go out as a church and we just bless people wherever they are. And, you know, you have things like people who buy, you know, you buy the next person in line things. But I want to go so far beyond that kind of stuff. I want to see where we find that there is tremendous need, and we just go and we just meet it, but do it only because of Jesus. There's a lot of people who do social ministry, okay? A lot of people. This is not about social ministry. This is about being generous, because God is so generous to us that we can do it and go in his name with the intent of telling people about Christ. Or do it now. Think about opportunities. I told you there's a great opportunity coming up New Year's Day. Anyone that wants to go be part of packaging food for families in Haiti. It's going to be over at Fairmount Christian. It's led by Heart Ministry. David's got some good connections in that ministry there. And that's just the place that they're hosting this packaging party. I think it's from 1 to 3. Again, take your kids, show them what it means to serve. Let them see what that means. And consider that verse. Look over those verses again in Micah 6 throughout this week. And think about those three areas that we are able to go and show the love of Christ. The gifts that we can give Jesus are, we can seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. Be a blessing. Be a blessing to someone else, but do me a favor. Don't let that be where it ends. Be a blessing so that you can share Christ. Just to be a blessing, anybody can do. Okay? Lost people will do that. We have to do so much more because of what Jesus has done for us. We serve a risen King. I'm going to read these passages and we're going to pray. Matthew 20 says, "And Jesus called them to him and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you.'" He's speaking to his disciples, which means, by the way, he's speaking to me and you. He says, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant." You must be your servant. "And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He served so that ultimately people would come to know him. That's the point of servant. That's why we want to be a blessing, so that people will see Christ in us. That's the hope. That's the hope. It's the only hope. You know how Princess Leia's on that projection thing out of R2-D2 in the original Star Wars? What does she say? She's trying to get a message to Obi-Wan Kenobi, and she says what? "Your heir only hope," right? You got to throw that in because Star Wars is coming out this week. But our only hope is Jesus. He's the only hope. As we see the darkness around us, as we see the things that happen, the horrific acts that take place in our society, there is hope. And none of this has caught him off guard. He is still the hope for the world, and he always will be. And if you're here today, and maybe the first thing you need to do is you need to receive that hope. To you, it's opening your heart and allowing that hope of Christ to come inside. That by faith you trust that Jesus is the Son of God. Paul tells us in Romans that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, and if you believe in your heart that he is the Son of God, you will be saved. If that's you today, then I encourage you, there's going to be prayer partners up here in a few minutes. There's going to be some of our youth prayer leaders are going to be around the room, because we want to encourage anyone and everyone that wants to come and pray to come pray. And maybe for you today, maybe it's that you need to come and just pray that, or ask one of their prayer partners to pray for you, that you would have a humble servant's heart. That's how you become humility. I mean, that's how you practice humility, is by laying your pride down and saying, hey, would you pray for me? Pray that I'll have that heart that really looks for opportunities to serve. And maybe for you, that's you today. Whatever it is, I'm going to encourage you to use this time. The worship team is going to come up here and lead us in worship. And consider this time as a time for you to reflect on what God is speaking to you in your heart at this time. So, Father, I just come to you and I thank you. I pray that you would be magnified. That, Father, we would be made very little. As John the Baptist declared, Father, I pray that you would increase and that we would decrease. Father, for we are unworthy to even tie the straps on your sandal. But Father, even though we are unworthy, you have called us. You have given us this great opportunity, this time to be a blessing. You have allowed us and given us this privilege to serve the King of Kings. That Father, we are considered royalty. The Father, your word has declared that we were purchased with a price, that we are not our own. But Father, we are children of the King. And that, Father, you are sending us out onto the highways and the byways, that, Father, we would extend the love of Christ to those who desperately need hope and peace. And, Father, there are so many around us at this time of year particularly that desperately need hope and peace. And, Father, I would encourage all of us, and I pray that you would give us just great opportunities to serve. May that be at an area nursing home or the VA hospital or the children's hospital. There's so many opportunities, Father, that we will truly be in the ones blessed, because we will see just how much you've blessed us. So, Father, I pray this over our folks this morning. I pray that, God, you would be famous amongst us, and that we declare in your word that if the name of Jesus be lifted high, that you will draw all men and women to yourself. So, Father, today may that be the case, that if anyone here needs to receive your Son Jesus by faith, that they would do so. And that, Father, as our prayer partners would be scattered around the room, that this would be a time of prayer and reflection upon what you have done for us. That you came so that we might have life. And we pray all this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.